People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for your sin. And when you stand up for Jesus, you pray for a meal, you witness to a friend, and you are criticized, you are demoted because you stood up for Jesus, then God's word says it is a joy to identify with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Continuing Through Trials.
Well, throughout the centuries, Christians have endured many kinds of persecution and many seasons of persecution. I often read and study about the Reformers and the early Anabaptists as they took their stand for the gospel, and as many times they were burned at the stake for their faith in Jesus Christ. Amazing stories are told and written. One of the little booklets we give our new members here at the church is just a little booklet entitled The Trail of Blood. Every new member, every one of you that have joined the church have received a copy of that at one time or another. And it talks about all of the persecutions upon believers. Another booklet is called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And sometime, if you have the opportunity to read some of the stories of those that were martyred for the faith, it's very humbling. It really humbles me because sometimes I see what it takes to get Christians to quit, and I realize, and I mean, boy, we are weak Christians compared to some of those who were willing to die. I mean, we're not talking about someone's kid got bit in the nursery or someone took your parking spot. We're talking about people that stood up for the faith. It's very convicting to read about that. And it was very difficult in the first few centuries of Christianity because as the Apostle Paul had preached and as the churches were established throughout Asia Minor and throughout the known world, Christians were coming out of pagan religion, and many of those in the pagan religions were threatened by it. They were worried about this growing number of people. Sometimes they were called people of the way. These were people of the way of Christ, and their lifestyle was distinctive, and their belief in Christ was threatening to those in power. And you've heard about it. You've heard about the Roman emperors. One of them was named Nero. He was the emperor during the early days of Christianity. He hated Christianity, literally. History records that he set the city of Rome on fire and blamed the Christians for the fire so that the world would hate Christians. That was how bad his hatred was for those who followed Christ. Another emperor a few years after this one was a man by the name of Decius. And Decius was the emperor who caused all people in the Roman Empire not only to bring sacrifice to the city square for Roman deities, but also to sacrifice to him as a Roman deity. Many of these emperors considered themselves as gods, and they wanted worship ascribed unto themselves. And Decius was so terrible during the second century that any of the Christians that would not bring sacrifice and would not give accolades to him as a deity, they were beheaded by this man Decius. And history records that there were at least 20,000 people beheaded who were Christians who would not bow down to him. And 10 of the most prominent who were beheaded were the pastors of the churches of Crete. And this is a depiction from the second century of the Roman soldiers beheading those that are now called, you can read about it on Google, the 10 insurmountable martyrs of Crete. And they were trained by Titus, who was trained by the Apostle Paul. And so you get the idea that from the earliest moments of Christianity, this persecution was very difficult for the church families to endure. And it was oftentimes very disheartening to hear about someone whose life was taken because they were simply doing what they believed God wanted them to do. And so throughout the history of Christianity, even until this present day, where Christians are being imprisoned in Iran and beheaded in Libya, and the stories continue to this present day, Christianity has always faced opposition. And the Bible tells us that all those who are godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. I don't know what we might face simply for preaching the whole counsel of God, even in our own country someday. I'm not pessimistic, but I believe I'm a biblical realist to know that God gives us the book of James so that Christians in every country and in every generation can have a mindset with respect to how to respond to those seasons of difficulty in Christian life. And throughout those difficult times, what we have also seen is that God is always with His church. He is always helping His church through these times, and He wants to help each of us through our times of trial, and He has done this in three ways. First, He has done this through the Bible, the Word of God. God's Word is a comfort. God's Word is a constant guide. God's Word is His infallible source of encouragement for every one of us as believers. Secondly, He has comforted us by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside of us. The Greek word parakleton speaks of the fact that He is the one that comes alongside, and the Holy Spirit comforts, and He ministers to us. When the words of others are just like sounding brass, and they don't seem to really help at a given moment, God's Spirit speaks and ministers to us. And it is a wonderful thing to know the Holy Spirit's ministry in your heart. The third way that God sustains us is through His church. Now, sad to say that there have been many misrepresentations of the church. And in fact, many of our forefathers, many of our Baptist forefathers, literally, were murdered by other so-called Christian churches. And we've seen this throughout the Dark Ages. We hear about various types of persecution from the Roman church upon anyone that was not a part of the Roman church. And so sometimes when you say in a public congregation that God gave the church to bring comfort, people look back in history and they say, well, that hasn't always been the case. Or sometimes in recent history, people have been involved in a church that was very discouraging to them for whatever reason. And so all I can say to that this morning is that that was not God's original design. That God's design is that the church is a body of believers, and that we rejoice when others rejoice, and we hurt when others hurt. And God says, I want my church to be a place where, according to Galatians 6, we bear one another's burdens. We don't want to add to one another's burdens. We want to bear one another's burdens. And so to the first century church, God gave His Word, His Holy Spirit, and He gave the body of believers to help those grieving widows and to encourage the fatherless. And He teaches us in the Word that pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless and the widows. And He wants the church to be a place of comfort even today. It is my conviction that every Christian should be a part of a New Testament church. And it is also my conviction that they should gladly hear from their pastor who watches over and will give an account for their soul according to Hebrews 13, 17. Now you say, well, Pastor, why do you bring that out about the church and the pastor? Is it because you are a pastor? Not only for that reason. The reason I give you that context is because the book that we're reading today was written by a pastor. And his name was James. And James was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And not only was he the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Now, we refer to him as the half-brother because Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so his mother was Mary, but his father was God the Father. He was of the Holy Ghost. And so there is a teaching, a false teaching of Rome, and there are many false teachings of Rome. And I say that lovingly, but it is the truth. We do not, for example, have confessional booths. Jesus Christ is our priest. And furthermore, another false teaching is the perpetual virginity of Mary. And the Bible is very clear that Mary had children after Jesus. And one of those was James. And James, as he became a follower of his brother Jesus, James became ultimately the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. And he was a wonderful leader of the first century, and he presided over what was called the Jerusalem Council. The Jerusalem Council is recorded in Acts chapter 15, and this was a council where the church convened to determine whether or not Gentiles could truly be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, how many of you are glad that Gentiles can truly be born again, right? That means we're in. Okay, so, but there was a big wonderment about that. There was a big meeting in Acts 15, and it was James that convened and held this meeting. And in Acts 15, 13, it says, "And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me." And James gave what was called the conclusion of the matter, that grace is for everyone who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's grace is for you today. You can be forgiven of your sin, born again, and you can have a home in heaven someday. And it doesn't matter what your background is, Gentile or Jew, red, yellow, black, brown, white. It doesn't matter. The ground is level at the cross, and whosoever will may come. And James, Pastor James, was the one that presided over the council where they understood God's mind in that matter. So here is James, the pastor of the church of Jerusalem, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he is writing to these early persecuted Christians, primarily of Jewish background, who were scattered abroad everywhere. And he is talking to them about their trials. Trials that were not hypothetical or maybe going to happen someday. Stuff that was going on right in their neighborhoods, things that were happening to their relatives. And he's writing to them about what to do in the middle of that. And the Holy Spirit, through James, gives three practical admonitions that all of us are going to need. Now, you're going to need these for physical trials, financial trials, family trials. But also, if you intend to really live for Jesus between now and when Jesus calls us home, then you will probably experience times when, because you prayed for a meal or gave someone a gospel invitation or because you talked about God, you will probably experience times when you are demeaned for your faith. It does happen. It is happening. And we need to be ready, and we need to know how to respond. Do we quit the church? Do we go into depression? Do we give up on our faith? What do you do when those trials come? And that's why James was written. And so I want you to notice in verse 2 as we get underway here, James writes these words, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or different temptations." Now, the first thing I want you to see this pastor giving these people is perspective, the perspective on trials. Now, folks, one of the reasons that we come to church is to get perspective. I don't know if you've ever noticed in the world in which we live, the news medias all have their spin, right? And the talk radio hosts have their spin, their shock radio hosts. And it seems like there's a lot of spin, and there's a lot of opinion, and consequently, when trials come, there's a lot of worry. And sometimes I have noticed in my own life that when something comes upon you suddenly in the way of bad news, you can be filled instantly with perhaps anxiety, and the first thing we lose is perspective. And so God says, "I want you to come to my word so that you can set the emotions aside and not be an emotionally based Christian or a soul-based Christian, where the soul is the seat of the emotions, but to be a spiritual Christian, to be led of the Spirit." God says, "I don't want you to run on your emotions filled with anxiety. I want you to have perspective, and I want you to run on the truth of the Word of God." Now, you don't have to raise your hand. Sometimes people joke around about a woman's emotions, but I'm going to tell you what, men and women are all emotional, all given to worry and concern and anxiety, and especially when trials come.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. but most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.